This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got ourselves a trio of tremendous hours. We've got a trio of great guests, and we just saw 11 runs put up by the Washington Nationals in the second inning. So we have a lot to talk about tonight. Our guests, we're going to be talking a little bit of everything. We got some baseball, we got some hockey, we got some basketball. Sean Zarrell, who does great work over at Action Network, he's going to be joining me in an hour. We have to talk about the fact that we just saw the Washington Nationals get to an 11-0 lead here in the second inning. But on top of that, we're going to be looking at what he's all got for Sunday, what he makes out of the first 2 months of the season. And I do need to ask this question as well. This will be something that I bring up on the show. How in the heck can we fade the Colorado Rockies without laying an exorbitant amount of juice? They are now 9-49. So we're going to be chatting about that with him and so much more. Then in about 90 minutes, Matt Moore, he always gives us more. He does great work over at Action Network as well. We're going to be chatting with him about the fact that we've got the Pacers going to the finals. We're going to recap what we all saw in terms of Pacers versus Knicks game from here tonight. Turn it forward to see what their chances are against the OKC Thunder, who are big, big favorites in the series. So we're going to have some fun with Matt. And then Jonathan Davis, he does tremendous work here at the network. He's going to be previewing the Stanley Cup with me in about 2 or so hours. He has been so excellent on the network all throughout the postseason, so that is going to be a lot of fun, and that means that we are going to have ourselves an amazing show. And first things first, before we go any further, it was indeed the Pacers going to the NBA Finals for the first time in, I believe, 25 years. 125-108 the final last time. They made it to the finals. Reggie Miller was on the team, but for the Pacers, they were really paced by Pascal Siakam in this one. He was able to throw in their 31 points. Darius Halliburton was able to do his thing, 21 points, 13 assists, and Obi Toppin off the bench having 18 points, by the way. That needs to be brought up. The fact that he was able to do a solid job, get the job done there, and thought that was very interesting for the Pacers. They went with a lot of Ben Shepherd in this game. He didn't give them any points, but he was able to be a little bit of a defensive stopper for them. And for the New York Knicks on this day, the three ball just was not falling. 9 of 32 from three-point range. You saw everything that Jalen Brunson had to give, but he was only able to give the team 19 points. And I'll keep bringing this up. The Mitchell Robinson rebound props were very interesting throughout the series. This was like the first time they actually hit it. He actually got to 9 rebounds, so yay verily there if you took a Mitchell Robinson rebound prop over, which I took the under all throughout the series. This is the lone one that I didn't cash, but overall, for the New York Knicks, just not a great effort out of them. They were very competitive in the first half, second half, and mainly the third quarter, I would say, is where this game really got away. And for the Pacers, they now advance to the NBA Finals on a 17 of 33 three-point shooting expose. And this has been an incredibly efficient team. I would say since like Christmas time, you can maybe look a little bit earlier, a little bit later, but this is when the team has really come into its own. But they're going to be really up against it as 9-point underdogs in game number one against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if you're just taking a look at the odds to be able to win the championship, the Pacers are plus 475. The OKC Thunder is minus 650. I do believe that the OKC Thunder are going to be able to win this series. That's not something that I want to mess with. And if you don't have a great feel in terms of like an exact, like if you're thinking that the OKC Thunder get the job done and they win the series, if you don't have a great feel, as if you think that it's going to be 5 games, 6 games, something like that, there's no need to really force it up. What I think is going to be interesting, though, is the Finals MVP, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is right now at minus 575. So you're able to reduce the juice a little bit in terms of the OKC Thunder there, and I think that it would be very hard-pressed for anyone on the OKC Thunder, not named Shai, to be able to get that award. But I really have liked what I've seen out of Jalen Williams. Maybe it's just me. I feel like he gets a little bit of short shrift. And keep in mind, this is something that is voted on by folks, and that's a big reason why you can't find a lot of value on some of these other guys. Like, I think that Jalen Williams could go out there, average like 25 points in this series, have himself a nice series, but with everything that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had done before then, if you look at the entirety of the postseason, it's going to be a little bit tough for him. I do life at Alex Caruso at 300-1. That would be a really awesome cash. Don't think that that's going to be happening, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I do think that some of these Game 1 props are very interesting, because right now you do have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the aforementioned, with a player prop of 35 points in Game Number 1. I'm sorry, that just seems a little bit high in my opinion. I feel like the other guys on the OKC Thunder, other than Jalen Williams, do get a little bit of short shrift. Like, Jalen Williams' prop is 22. I think that that's actually very proper, but I could see some of these guys that are a little bit lesser being able to step up, like we saw in Kasan Wallace, be able to give you some relatively good production all throughout the postseason. Chet Holmgren is at 18 points in terms of that over-under. I think that that's maybe a little bit lofty, as and he does a lot other than score, so I think that that's an interesting prospect, and you've got a 229.5 total. Like, if I had to play this total right now, I would be looking at the under, and that's the biggest read for me because I'm going to be doing a lot of in-game betting with regards to the NBA Finals. I think that that's the best way of going about it, especially with these two teams. These are two high-octane teams where you can see some dramatic runs right away, so you're able to get some good value in-game, but I think that that's a good way of being able to take a look at it. But we do now have OKC Thunder versus Pacers in the Finals, and what else we have is some wild and crazy baseball action that's happening right now. I alluded to it at the top. The Washington Nationals put up 10 runs in the first inning. They've added on another run here in the second. It is now 11-0. The Washington Nationals are in the lead after two innings against the Arizona Diamondbacks. For the Diamondbacks, Brandon Pfaadt, well, his ERA is really fighting it right now. He gave up 8 runs and he didn't get an out. That's not good. That's like Colorado Rockies level bad right there. And for Brandon Pfaadt, I always liked the guy, but it just feels like, I don't know, I have trust issues with him. Like, I always want to bet on him, but it's like every time I bet on him, I get the short end of the stick. And Mike Soroka right now, two scoreless innings for the Washington Nationals. This is a live money line that I believe is currently off the board. And if it were on the board, you'd be needing to get like $1 billion to 1 on the Arizona Diamondbacks, because that's not great to say the least. But for the Washington Nationals, man, I am just an absolute expose. And by the way, the Washington Nationals, very, very silently putting together a halfway decent year. And there were a team that I was relatively high on coming into the year, because I did feel like the, shall we say, younger guys would be able to step up a little bit more. I expected a bit more out of Dylan Cruz, but I mean, they're 27-30 right now, and unless if they blow this 11-run lead, that takes them to 28-30. That puts them a half a game up on the Atlanta Braves right now. And how many people thought that we would be entering into June 1st with the Washington Nationals ahead of the Atlanta Braves? Now, I think a lot of people could have expected the Miami Marlins being instead sinking last right now, but I mean, that is going to be a fun race to say the least for Washington. They need to sort out this bullpen, as the Washington Nationals bullpen currently dead last in the National League in terms of ERA, hovering right around about a 6, so that's a little bit less than amazing. But CJ Abrams has been putting it together. James Wood has been able to give you good wood. He's been hitting 16 home runs this season, so I have to like what you're seeing out of some of these young guys for the Washington Nationals, as they are stepping up and stepping up big. What else makes it even more hilarious for the Nationals with this 11 runs that they scored in the first two innings? None of it on home runs. None of it whatsoever. Just station to station, move the line, whole bunch of doubles there. And if you're looking for a double down of extra innings, you, right now we've got the Minnesota Twins and the Seattle Mariners going at it. It's 4-4 in the 11th inning. For those that played my VSiN write-up, I am on the over, which that is going to cash. And yeah, right now, spreading out the Seattle Mariners on the money line, as this has been a sort of an up-down all-around game, as for both Bryce Miller and Bailey Ober, they both went 4 innings, and now for the Minnesota Twins, Aaron, we are going to do the math here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th bullpen piece. And the bullpen has actually been relatively solid. This has been a Minnesota Twins bullpen that has been in the top 5 in terms of ERA. Like, everyone that they brought in, really other than Oreo Alcala, has been able to give you a sub-425 ERA this far this season. Yohan Duran has been a really good closer. They use him up in the 10th. Now it's Cole Sands who comes in the 11th inning. If you're looking at your live money line right now on Seattle, you're actually getting that right around about a -360. So big sway there, and now it's all of a sudden a -445. But for the Seattle Mariners, certainly a very interesting prospect for them right now, trying to be able to claw their way back and trying to be able to get a win after it's been a little bit of a shaky week for them. Again, they had that less than savory series against the Washington Nationals, so they're looking to rise up here. And then if you're looking at other things that are just very strange, like, I love taking a look at baseball. Some of these high strikeout guys I feel like can be very volatile, and right now we are seeing that volatility on display out there in San Diego, as right now the Padres are trailing 3-0 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Dylan Cease just has not had the season that you'd expect. Like, all the underlying numbers, if you take a look at the advanced metrics, he should be having a much better season than what he's had. But 4 2/3 innings, he gave up 3 runs, including a home run going deep. Andrew McCutchen, his 4th home run season. By the way, fun fact for you kids, he becomes the 3rd player on the Pittsburgh Pirates with more than 3 home runs this season. Before that, it was O'Neill Cruz and also Brian Reynolds, your lone 2 guys on the Pirates that had more than 3 home runs this year, and this is game number 59 of the season. That tells you where this Pittsburgh Pirates offense is at. But the San Diego Padres, they've been lacking a little bit in terms of the offensive firepower, and I do think that that brings up something as well. I need to talk about this in the next segment. Maybe it's just me that has noticed this, but for those of you guys that play props, for those of you guys that take these home run props, it feels like it's so all or nothing right now. Like, you've got Aaron Judge, who's been mashing a bunch of bombs. He had another one tonight. Shohei Ohtani has obviously had himself a nice year. Kyle Schwarber. Like, you've got all these blue chip guys. You've got these guys that they're on pace for 40-plus homers. They are really slugging the ball. And then everyone else is getting nothing. Like, these guys that you find in the mid-tier where you're hoping, like, oh, let's see if we can get, like, a nice plus 450, a nice plus $5 sort of home run prop. They just have not delivered whatsoever this year. So I'm actually going to flesh that out a little bit more. On the flip side, we do have to talk a little bit more about what we saw in baseball as well as, again, the Colorado Rockies. 9-49. Allow me to put this in perspective. You need to be getting plus 545 on the money line of the Colorado Rockies to be breaking even right now. So that's not great. So you're not breaking even on the Colorado Rockies, but you're going to be breaking ahead right here on Cashing Out. On the flip side, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a lot that is happening on the diamond right now, and we got ourselves a lot that happened on the hardwood, as it is now going to be the New York Knicks are done. They fall to the Indiana Pacers, so you've got yourself a Pacers versus OKC Thunder final, with right now Oklahoma City Thunder a 9-point favorite in game number one, total 229.5. As I was saying, looking at that under a little bit, I think that this is going to be a little bit of a feel-mall process. Fully recognize that the Pacers have been a high-octane offense and, well, not necessarily a high-octane defense, but do think that that may be that set a little bit high, and I do think that you're going to be able to find yourself some good player props to be able to go under on. Right now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 35 points is where I'm seeing that prop at for game number one. A little bit rich for my blood, but I said, you know what else is a little bit rich for my blood? Looking at these mid-tier player props with regards to the overs in terms of home run props, because I've just noticed this year. Maybe it's just me, but it feels like you either have like 20 home runs right now or you have 2. And there's not a lot of in between. Like, we have seen in Major League Baseball just a big giant chasm, because we've got some historic seasons going down right now. Like, with what Aaron Judge is doing, and right now he is the runaway favorite for American League MVP, I would not encourage you to lay the like minus $5 billion that you have to right now for Aaron Judge, mainly because if he ends up getting injured, then you could lose that bet. Like, that's the only way you're going to lose that bet, but you could still lose that bet. You never know when some sort of a season-ending injury is going to happen, so I would advise against it. There's a more than 2% chance that it happens, and, well, right now you're laying the juice as if he's like 99% to be able to win that award. But that said, with regards to just these props that I was mentioning a little bit before, you got obviously Aaron Judge, who's been able to do a nice job. I'll be able to slug out the deep ball. Big dumper Cal Raleigh, by the way, is up to 21 home runs, which if you had Cal Raleigh at 21 home runs here at the end of May on your bingo card coming into the season, I very much credit you there. And if you've been looking at more of these lesser guys than be able to slug it out deep, honestly, the LA Angels have provided a little bit of bang for your buck. Like, Taylor Ward's up to 16 home runs. Logan O'Hoppy's been able to give you 14 home runs. I mean, that's been great. But then you take a look outside of really, like, the what should we put as our line of demarcation? You've got your top 24 guys in baseball who have been able to give you 12-plus home runs. And then you just have a lot of guys that they're just not giving you a lot. Like, I'm going to call it what it is. You don't have a lot of guys that are slugging out, like, 8-9 home runs this season. Like, you've got your Christian Walkers, your Randy Arozarenas, your Bo Bichettes that just have not been able to give you too much as far this season. Jonathan Aranda. It just feels like it's been very all or nothing this far this season. So if you've been looking for some good props to be taking a look at on the baseball front, some of the guys have been the most undervalued. It's been someone like a Taylor Ward of the LA Angels. He's been able to supply you with, I believe now, 16 home runs this season. Obviously, the Cubs, Pete Armstrong, Say Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, all these guys being able to give you a double-figure amount of bombs. And then I do like the Detroit guys. Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson have been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers, so they've been able to do a nice job on that front. But it's been very much the guys that you'd expect going deep have been able to. Guys that you wouldn't think so, but maybe you just want to take a little bit of a roll of the dice on them. Well, that roll of the dice, it has not been panning out. So I think that that's been something very interesting to take a look at this year. And I do have to hash this out as well. I just can't get enough of this. Like, maybe I'm just a sucker for this. Maybe I'm a sucker for train wrecks in general. But the fact that the Colorado Rockies right now are 9-49, and I said it on the way out, you would right now need, if you bet the Colorado Rockies money line in every single game this year, you would need to be getting plus 545 on the money line to be breaking even. You are not even making a profit. Actually, you'd make a $5 profit. If you're a $100 better, you'd be up $5 if you got plus 545. So if you're at plus 544, you'd be down like $4 or $5. So you're plus 544 and a half. We'll just call it that. But, I mean, you would need that right now to break even. And don't know about you guys, but the next time I see a plus 545 money line on a Major League Baseball game, I'm not talking about some of these games that we're seeing in terms of the College Baseball World Series or anything like that. I'm talking about professional baseball. You let me know. And I mean, this is the first time in my life, because I very much am a underdog bettor when it comes to Major League Baseball. Typically, when you give me plus $3 on darn near any team, I'm the schmuck that takes it. I'm just here like, yeah, it's baseball. Anything can happen on any given day. You're giving me plus $3 on, like, the Orioles in 2018, you're giving me plus $3 on some of those sad and pathetic Miami Marlins teams. Heck, even the White Sox at points last year were worth considering. Now, I didn't take really any of the Chicago White Sox money lines, but at the very least, there was some times where it was like, man, they're trying to make you the godfather, an offer that you can't refuse offer. And once in a blue moon, I'd be willing to dive in. Not with this Colorado Rockies team. Like, they're not even in the stratosphere of being profitable right now, even with these plus $3 numbers. And right now, they're in the thick of their schedule. Now, a little bit of let up against the Miami Marlins coming up in this next week, but I mean, it's a Colorado Rockies team that they have lost out 22 straight series. They need to win their next two games in order to avoid what would be the worst start in MLB history. I believe that it's the St. Louis Browns, if I remember correctly, of 1895, who started out 11-49. That is right now the company that they are keeping. They need to win their next two games. And oh, by the way, they're nearly $4 underdogs here on Sunday in order to be able to get win number one, in order to try to stave off the wrong sort of history. It's just absolutely wild. And I mean, what I've been finding right now that has been working out for me is with the Colorado Rockies, when Antonio Senzatella is not pitching, you take a look at some of the unders. They've actually been a really good under team, because on the road right now, the Colorado Rockies are averaging 2.3 runs per game. And that is with factoring in the fact that they put up some sort of a miraculous 14 spot against the Arizona Diamondbacks last week. Like, I have no idea where that sort of ordeal came from. There was sorcery. There was, like, some sort of magic that must have been in the ball diamond that night that allowed them to score 14 runs on the road, because that's pretty much like a third of their output on the road this far this season. Like, I'm not even kidding when I say it. Like, this is a Colorado Rockies team that right now, I think that they're now 3-27 on the road this far this season. I might be overshooting it a little bit. It might be 3-26. But again, if you want to do the math in terms of what you need to break even, yo, that perfect. It's great math. It's 3-27. You need to be getting plus $9 on them on the road to be breaking even on their money lines on the road. Plus $9. Like, this is the this is the historic amount of stink that we're talking about with the Colorado Rockies, a team that is currently on pace for 25-137. To put that into perspective, 16 more losses than last year's Chicago White Sox team. That's not great, and, well, let's try to get you a W here, because over here at Circa, you get a massive W when you book with them. If you book a two-night stay with Circa, you're going to get it for $400. That's a great value right there. That includes the resorts fees, because out here in lovely Las Vegas, they like to pop you with that. And it includes all the taxes and everything like that, but they're throwing in there a bunch of nice goodies. You get a $100 food credit. You get a $100 beverage credit. So there's $200 back in your pocket right there. And you get a day bed over at Stadium Swim. This is their all-in package. It runs all the way from now through September 4th. So this is going to be all summer long. You go to CircaLasVegas.com for this offer. CircaLasVegas.com, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And yeah, I had to hash out just the level of sink that the Colorado Rockies are going through right now. And, I mean, here's something even more crazy. If they went 500 the rest of the way, which, I mean, good God, that is quite the ask right there. Like, they are currently 9-49, but let's say that they went 500 the rest of the way, they would still lose 100 games. If they go 500 the rest of the way, they go 61-101. And let's not lie to ourselves. They are not going 500 the rest of the way. Like I said, if you're looking for a little bit of profit and you're not looking to lay minus $3, and I will throw this in here right now. I always say that value is value, and you don't have to base it based on, oh, it must be a plus number or anything like that. I know that there's underdog bettors that they always believe that if you're not getting plus money, you're not getting value. Sometimes the best value is actually laying a number. Like, best bet I've ever made since I moved to lovely Las Vegas was my first year here. It was during the year of the Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather fight. I laid that minus $4 with Floyd Mayweather. I was able to get that down, like, few hours before the fight. That was one where I actually did empty the account for that one, and I will never do that again. I was in a little bit of a desperate place, but fresh out of college, we had student loans to pay off. But I mean, that was one where it's like, yeah, this should be like 98-99% that Floyd Mayweather is going to be able to win this. You've got a guy that has never boxed before against the boxer that has never lost before. Yeah, that was one that I felt good about. And again, if you're laying like minus $3 to fade the Colorado Rockies on the money line, it's going to be closer to $4 than this one. You're still making a lot of profit because, again, the Colorado Rockies plus 545 on the money line in order to break even. Value is value. Whether you're laying a number, whether you're getting a plus number, you just look at the odds and you try to be able to make yourself some money long term. And we'll look to do that for you guys as we'll take a look at the baseball card for the Sunday on the flip side on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a lot in Major League Baseball to be able to decipher, and we did see this game go final. The Seattle Mariners do indeed get the job done against the Minnesota Twins, 5-4. It took 11 innings, and it took a lot of bullpen pitching on both sides, but Seattle's able to persevere as they went 1-10 with men in scoring position to be able to get this one to the window, as it was a fielder's choice that allowed the Seattle Mariners to be able to find a way. So yay verily for the Seattle Mariners. And a really interesting AL West, by the way. This is worth talking about here for a minute, because the Seattle Mariners, they were down to begin the day by a half a game to the Houston Astros. Astros get completely clobbered, by the way, by the Tampa Bay Rays. So there's that aspect of things, but for Seattle, currently a half a game up in the Houston Astros. And I know that Danny Vietti, he does a great job over at CBS Sports. He does the Wake and Rake podcast. He was talking about the NL Central, and he joins my podcast a lot. I do the VSiN baseball show called The Baseball Betting Show with Greg Peterson. I know, we made it very difficult to be able to find, so very directed to the point there, but he's joined me a lot. And last year with the NL Central, because he had just a bunch of teams that felt like didn't really want the division, we called it, and I quote, a mid-off Right now, you've got a big giant mid-off right here in the AL West. Like, does anyone want this division right now? The Oakland, or I call them the Oakland A's. The Sacramento A's have went completely down the toilet bowl over the last few weeks. They looked like they were off to a good start, but they can't win a game at home to save their lives. The LA Angels, for some reason, went on an 8-game win streak last week. They're coming back down to earth. They lost another game here to the Cleveland Guardians here on Saturday, and then for the Texas Rangers, they are playing every single one of their home games to the under. And if you don't believe me, they now have 7 overs to 25 unders. I am the schmuck that wrote up the over here today thinking, oh, Patrick Corbin's on the mound. Certainly Patrick Corbin can't continue to pitch like this. His fielding independent is a 5. He's posting up a 3.75 ERA. No. And the Texas Rangers, you look at this team on paper, and I keep believing that they're going to at some point hit. I'm not saying that they're going to be like what the Cubs are right now or anything like that, but at some point I've been led to believe that they're going to hit, because you've got Marcus Semien, Jake Berger, Jock Peterson, Adolis Garcia, all 4 of those guys hitting a 215 or lower. They just aren't hitting. Like, they get back Corey Seager, and they get blown out today because they can't hit. Like, again, I can't believe what I'm seeing out of this Texas Rangers team, but they're incapable of putting bat to ball, especially at home. Like, on the road, they've actually been able to give you a little bit more of something, but, I mean, this is a bunch that is hitting a 225 at home, and they're averaging less than 0.9 home runs per game at home, and yet they're still in this race for the Seattle Mariners. They've been actually hitting really well, but it's been the starting pitching that has been the issue, if you thought that there was going to be one thing that the Seattle Mariners would not have to worry about this year, it's starting pitching. Like, they just got Bryce Miller back. He lasts 4 innings. He gives up 3 runs. Did not necessarily look super duper sharp here. They're hoping to get Logan Gilbert back sooner rather than later, but you don't know what you're going to get out of him coming off the injury list. George Kirby has been a disaster since coming off the injury list. Luis Castillo has having the worst strikeout numbers of his career. Emerson Hancock has been honestly not as bad as the ERA would indicate. Out of his 9 starts, he's given up 300 runs or fewer in 7 of them, but Emerson Hancock is not the man that's going to be leading you to the promised land or anything like that. And you've got a Houston Astros team that it's just a hodgepodge right now, with having Jose Altuve starting to refine it a little bit more, but that Christian Walker signing has not been panning out for them. They've been another one of those teams that their pitching rotation is very interesting. Lance McCullers Jr. is on the bump for the first time in 2 years. He's been all over the place. Hunter Brown, the guy that's going to be going for Sunday, by the way, he has been one of the best pitchers in all baseball. Like, Hunter Brown has been dominant. Framber Valdez, you know what you're going to get out of him, but then you've got Ryan Gusto has been having his ups and downs, to say the least. You don't know what you're going to be able to get moving forward out of Colton Gordon, the man that went on the bump tonight. So, yeah, this is a division that I would say, if you're looking for value out there, I do think that in terms of the Houston Astros, they probably will be able to find a way to be able to persevere, just because they have just owned this division for about 500 million billion years. But, I mean, right now, if you're looking at the odds of these are via DraftKings, Houston Astros, you're able to find that at +110. I think that that's honestly relatively fair value, because I don't know what you're going to get out of the Seattle Mariners moving forward, but still, oh so intrigued by the Texas Rangers at 5-1, because again, I think at some point these guys are going to hit, but man, when you get 60 games into it, when you get past Memorial Day, then you're thinking, maybe not, and they continue to prove me wrong in the fact that they're going to be able to hit. Something that is a hit, though, is signing up for VSiN Pro. You're able to get now 14 months, so you're going to get VSiN for less than 50 cents a day for $199. Great deal, considering typically it's about $20 a month, so we shave out $41. We get you an extra 2 months for free. All you need to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe, type in the promo code of PRO, P-R-O, so 3 simple letters, saves you $41. You get a daily best bet email with all the VSiN shows and guest picks for the day, exclusive betting splits from both DraftKings and Circa, all access to the VSiN Watch app to be able to watch show replays, everything live, and plus we've got a nice NFL betting guide that's going to be coming out soon as well. You also get access to our analytics, betting trends, and so much more. Once again, go to VSiN.com/subscribe, type in that promo code PROS. It is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and How about if we do settle in and take a look at some baseball that we are going to be getting on this Sunday? And it actually does, ironically enough, get started out there in Texas. The earliest game is the St. Louis Cardinals versus Texas Rangers game, 9:25, 9:26 on the card, with old Jacob DeGrom on the bump for the Rangers. And Eric Fetty is going for St. Louis. And right now you're getting about plus 145, plus 155 on St. Louis, or in terms of the Texas Rangers, more around about a minus 160. And total on this game is 7.5. Keep going to the under, because Jacob DeGrom has really been able to round into form. He had like one or two rough starts to begin the season. Now, if you look at the fielding independent numbers, Jacob DeGrom actually has a fielding independent that's darn near a point higher than his ERA, because he did give up the deep ball a little bit earlier on in the season. He has given up about 1.3 home runs per nine innings, but ever since, I would say, a rough first week and a half of the season, this guy has really been able to round into form, because he had, I believe it was that second start of the season where he got little blazed by the Tampa Bay Rays. So if you take a look at everything that he's been able to do over his last, we're going to call it his last eight starts, he's been able to be the Jacob DeGrom of old. 185 ERA, feeling dependent more around about a 290, so you do like to see that. And for Eric Fetty, last year, he was an incredibly good home pitcher, a guy that on the road, he was just giving you a big giant nothing burger. But in this season, he's been able to figure it out a little bit more on the road, but he's not really giving you too much swing and miss. 5.5 strikeouts per nine innings, and he is giving up 4 walks per nine. But with this Texas Rangers team, it just makes it a horse apiece situation as to how to be able to play this right now. Right now, I'm seeing run line prices in that neighborhood about a plus 125 to a plus 130. I need to get just a little bit above a plus 125 to be able to take a shot here. I do think that this money line, I would probably need it to be closer to about a minus 160 to be able to take a shot there. So really not a lot of value on St. Louis, but can get past that plus 125 run line price, I'll be finding myself on Texas again. I mentioned all the names a few minutes ago. Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia, Jake Berger, Jock Peterson, all these guys hitting a 215 or lower. I'm just still led to believe at some point these guys are going to hit. Maybe I am just a schmuck and an idiot for thinking that these guys are going to hit. I think at some point these guys are going to hit, especially with Corey Seager coming back. And recognizing the first two games that Corey Seager has come back hasn't necessarily given you too much. Maybe he's just getting things all sorted out and everything like that, but I do think they're going to get a bit of something there. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, this has been very much a station-to-station baseball sort of team, and they haven't necessarily been able to give you too much of the deep ball. Lars Nootbaar, great name. He's right now leading the way with 8 home runs for the team, and as a matter of fact, for the St. Louis Cardinals, they're currently 25th in the big leagues in terms of home runs per game, so less than savory there. You've got Ivan Herrera, who's back after he was having himself a really nice start to the season, goes on the injured list, still laying north of 300 for the team. You've also got Brandon Donovan, who's been able to above a 320. I mean, you've got guys who are able to find a way on base. Mason Wynn has been able to give you about a 350 on base. Victor Scott has been pretty solid as well. And for the Cardinals, the bullpen is starting to round in form. Was a little bit shaky to begin the season, but Jojo Romero's looked better over the last month or so. You've got someone like a Kyle Leahy, John King, these guys giving you a sub 4 ERA. I still am led to believe that Ryan Helsley is one of the best closers in all of baseball. For the Rangers, it's been hit or miss in terms of bullpen, I think is the best way of putting it. Robert Garcia has been very good in this bullpen. And I like Mark Church towards the beginning part of the season. I don't know when he's going to be able to come back, but he's a guy that was able to give them some relatively solid innings. You do have some issues with the long guys like Jacob Latz. I actually went to high school with Caleb Bosley, so you always root for him, but right now rocking north of a 5 ERA. I have to call it what it is there, so you need a little bit more in terms of that long relief for the Texas Rangers, and now they've been dealing with an injury to Luke Jackson as well, so you've got a few guys that are sort of banged up for the team. I do think that in the end, you can trust in Jacob DeGrom, though, and I do think that this is going to be just what we've been seeing all season long out there in Texas. Another low-scoring game, another slog. You're getting a total of 7.5, which is low, but I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the under. Again, with the Rangers, need to get just a little bit better than a plus 125, but if we can get north of a plus 125, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that run line. What else we need to take a shot on is looking at what the San Diego Padres are doing, as it has been a not-so-great night for them. They are walking the plank against the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll get you caught up there, and then we are going to turn it forward to what we're getting in on Sunday out there in San Diego. On the flip side, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm sure that many of you have heard of Sleepless in Seattle. Well, right now it's scoreless in San Diego. 5-0, the Padres are getting shut out right now by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Bailey Falter did not live up to his name. 6 1/3 innings scoreless, only one strikeout, so there was a lot of contact, but it all went to absolutely nowhere whatsoever for the San Diego Padres. And Dylan Cease, the guy that I continue to think is doing for a little bit of positivity, well, not so much positivity here. Gives up 3 runs over the course of 4 2/3 innings. Since then, the San Diego Padres have been trying to hold down the fort a little bit, but Yuki Matsui gave up a pair of runs without getting a single out of the bullpen, so we shall see how things are going to be materializing here as Padres are looking to be able to claw their way back. And speaking of trying to claw their way back, the Arizona Diamondbacks got down 11 runs in the game tonight. You want to talk about a bad performance? This has to be up there as one of the worst starting pitching performances that you're ever going to see. Brandon Pfaadt gave up 8 runs and he didn't record a single out. Like Greg Peterson could go out there and give up 8 runs without getting a single out. Heck, all of you listening at home, you could have done that as well. So that's not tremendous to say the least. Now, the good news for the Arizona Diamondbacks is ever since the second inning where Scott McGough, he gave up 3 runs over the course of his inning of work. He went from the first to the second inning. They've had 4 scoreless innings out of Ryan Nelson and Jeff Brigham out of the bullpen. So that's good. The bad news is when you're down 11 runs, typically it's a little bit too little too late in a baseball game. And Mike Soroka is right now dealing. So we shall see what's going to be happening there, but very interesting NL West to say the least, because you got the LA Dodgers who they absolutely just lambasted the New York Yankees tonight. You've already had 2 games, by the way, in terms of sort of the, shall we say, nightcap here in Major League Baseball, where the over hit in either the first or the second inning. The LA Dodgers had 10 runs up on the board in the first 2 innings against the New York Yankees, 18-2 the final. Like I've been saying, it's been very all or nothing with regards to the home runs that we've been seeing out there in Major League Baseball. As you actually had in this one a guy, Max Muncy, who's really had a rough season, be able to hit a pair of bombs. He goes for number 5 and number 6 of the season. Andy Paz was able to go deep, and Aaron Judge, he got 2 home runs, and that was the lone 2 runs of the game for the New York Yankees. It got to the point where Kike Hernandez went in there to pitch. That was interesting to say the least. And Bob Reyes, that was a guy that took the mound for the New York Yankees. That is not a pitcher. And word to the wise, I always say this whenever I'm on air. Whenever you see a position player go into the game for that team that is down 100 million billion runs, you pound the run line of the team that is in the lead, and you take the live over. It works out darn near every single time. There are some times where you just have a team that rolls over, but if you do nothing but that all throughout the season, you are going to crank out a profit. I guarantee you that, because a lot of these books, they utilize an algorithm and they can't understand the fact that, no, you don't have some sort of reliever. You don't have someone trustworthy. You've got insert your favorite third baseman here who doesn't see the field at all throwing 35 miles an hour. And I'm not even kidding. Some of these guys actually throw 35 miles an hour. It's just absolute hilarity. Good, clean family fun. It's always a case where you want to be taking a look at those live overs. So, like, if you're looking for a live betting angle right now, watch this Washington Nationals versus Arizona Diamondbacks game. If the Diamondbacks stay down like 9 runs, because I think that you need to be down at least 6 runs in order to be able to throw out their position player. So if they're down 5, they can't throw the position player. When you get down 6 plus runs, that's when you could throw the position player. Just look at who's in the game, and if you see, let's throw out here some names on the depth chart of the Arizona Diamondbacks that might be coming into the game. Tim Tewa, he's right now the backup, I believe, second baseman. You've got someone like a Randall Grichuk. He's right now a backup outfielder. Pavin Smith, guys like this. That's what you wanted. Oh, here's the guy that you target, because I think that he's actually pitched once before. Eliermo Vargas, he is still on the roster of the Arizona Diamondbacks. If that guy comes out there to pitch, that is something that you want to be taking a look at. And I am correct, he did have a few pitching appearances for the Washington Nationals last year, rocking actually a career 450 ERA. So, or 360 ERA. He had a 450 last season. So, Eliermo Vargas, if you see him go into the game, live over, live bet that run line that you're seeing with regards to Washington Nationals. And something else that you want to be seeing is ProfitX. ProfitX knows that the NBA playoffs is heating up, and they are one of our partners here at VSiN, and they offer a peer-to-peer sports betting exchange that is available in 40-plus states. You're going to be able to make your picks at a much better rate than you would against a normal sports book, because you're betting against other fans rather than the bookies, and that means that you're going to be able to get the best odds by about 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. Utilize that promo code of VSiN, V-S-I-N. That gets you up to 200 in profit cash. That's over with the promo code of V-S-I-N, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And now let's dive in on the San Diego Padres and their prospects of being able to perhaps claw out the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, which they have not covered the run line. They did not cover the run line on Friday. They are probably not going to hear on Saturday because they are currently down 5-0, but I think that on Sunday they might be able to get back online. This is 9-11, 9-12 on the card. Right now it's old Randy Vasquez who's on the bump for San Diego, and Andrew Heaney is on the bump for Pittsburgh. By the way, my VSiN write-ups for this baseball Sunday already up, so big shout out to everyone behind the scenes for getting that all taken care of. But right now with Heaney and the Pirates, they're about a plus 125, plus 130 underdog, minus 140 on San Diego with a total of 8.5. And it's been really interesting to gauge Randy Vasquez. Not a swing miss guy. He gets about 5.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's giving up a little bit north of 4 walks per 9 innings. But I mean, somehow, some ways, cranking out about a 3.52 ERA. And for Andrew Heaney, he is way down with his strikeout numbers. Like, typically, Andrew Heaney is giving you 9.5 to 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's giving up the deep ball. This year, he's not giving up the deep ball, but he's not been able to get the strikeouts, and he's given up 3 walks per 9 innings. You've got a pair of guys that have a fielding independent that's about a point higher than their ERA, but I'm still going to be willing to go in on the under. And the reason why is that this Pittsburgh Pirates team, they've looked a little bit better with their offense over the last two or so weeks, but they're still cranking out about 3 to 3.1 runs per game on the road this season, depending upon how the Saturday night result goes. And just don't have a lot of, shall we say, guys are able to take you deep. Like, Ryan Reynolds has been able to give you 7 home runs this year. Oneil Cruz has been able to give you 12. And as a result of tonight's game, you've got Andrew McCutchen now up to 4 home runs. Those are the lone guys that have 3-plus home runs on the team right now. That's not tremendous. And then just everyone that they've been trotting out there at the bottom of the fold have not been able to pan out. They've had to send some of these guys back on down to the minor leagues, what have you, but I mean, these guys like Jared Trollo, who I think that they just sent back down to the minor leagues. Former number one overall pick, Henry Davis, Alexander Canario, a whole bunch of guys in a 225 or lower. Now move a line, and for the San Diego Padres, this is exactly what I'm talking about, in that you got pretty much an all-or-nothing home run sort of, shall we say, dynamic this season. These guys, they either have like 12-plus home runs or they have none. You've got Fernando Tatis Jr., who's been able to crank it out 12-plus times this season, 340 on base. Then you've got Manny Machado, who's been stuck on 6 home runs this season, but he's hitting above 300. Luis Arraez has been able to do a solid job moving the line. Jackson Merrill's moving the line. And then you have that Gavin Sheets be able to give you 11 home runs. He's up to about a 270 average, but you've got a lot of the other guys just not supplying a lot of power for this team. They had to give Luis Campusano a little bit of an appearance here tonight, so that's a little bit less than amazing. And for the Padres, it has been a bit more a hit or miss with regards to this bullpen. We have seen a bit of regression there, but you still have quite a few guys that may be able to step up, like Adrian Morejon has been able to give you a sub 3.5 ERA. Jason Adam, for the second straight year, is right now posting up a sub 2 ERA. Robert Suarez has been a relatively good long guy. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, this is a bullpen that is suspect. Very suspect. You've had Dennis Santana be able to supply you with a sub 2 ERA. He's actually been very good. And right now they're using Caleb Ferguson, who's been relatively solid this far this season. But likes of Joey Wentz, Chase Shogart, Ryan Borucki, we are starting to see all sorts of regression with regards to those guys. Right now, they're all giving you north of a 3.75 ERA. And I do think that the San Diego Padres are going to be able to get to them a little bit. And I do think that for Andrew Heaney, gonna have a little bit of struggle here. I do think that Randy Vasquez gonna be able to have some success against this Pittsburgh Pirates team. So, did somebody tell at any point too? And with the 8.5, I do like the under. Keep in mind that San Diego still won the more pitcher-friendly ballparks in all of baseball, and I'm gonna be willing to take a shot on that Padres money line. I did give out the Padres money line with regards to my VSiN write-ups, and this is a game that I feel like deserves 1 minute to be spent upon, because we spend a lot of time here in our number one parsing through just how bad it is for the Colorado Rockies. And I will highlight this once again. for the Colorado Rockies. They are 3-27 on the road this year. In order to be breaking even on their money line on the road, you'd need to be getting plus $9 on it. And here's a shocker. You're not getting plus $9 in terms of their game on Sunday. They're facing off against the New York Metropolitans. Carson Palmquist is on the bump for Colorado. Clay Holmes is right now on the bump for the Mets. The Mets are right now between minus $390 to minus $4. Right now, if you're looking at that run line price, it's minus $180, minus $185. I know that sounds high. That's actually tremendous value. The Colorado Rockies have lost 40 games already by multiple runs. You don't want to trust in them to do anything good for you, so we're going to be fading once again. But you want to be trusting in a whole lot of good with regards to this front. As Sean Cirillo does great work over at Action Network on the MLB front, he joins me next on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.